is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Ian Dale.
So, from discussing Britain's next Prime Minister to chemical castration, you wouldn't get that anywhere else, would you? It's 4 minutes past nine. Welcome. We're going to talk about chemical castration, which is not something I've ever talked about on LBC before, because in Alabama, the state Senate there has passed a bill to chemically castrate child sex offenders. Now, the legislation known as House Bill 379 would see those convicted of crimes against minors chemically castrated before they leave prison. It was passed by Alabama lawmakers last Friday, and it's now one step away from being signed into law by the state governor. Republican State Representative Steve Hurst, who introduced the legalization, says they have marked this child for life and the punishment should fit the crime. I had people call me in the past when I introduced it and said, don't you think this is inhumane? I asked them what's more inhumane than when you take a little infant child and you sexually molest that infant child when the child cannot defend themselves or get away and they have to go through all the things they have to go through. If you want to talk about inhumane, that is humane. If we do something of this nature, it would deter something like this happening again in Alabama and maybe reduce the numbers. Now, chemical castration uses hormone treatment to suppress sexual urges. It does not involve surgical removal of parts of the genitals like standard castration. Eight states in the US allow chemical or even surgical castration of sex offenders. Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Oregon, Montana, and Wisconsin have laws which allow courts to order castration before a sex offender is released. California, Georgia, Louisiana, Montana, and Wisconsin only allow chemical castration to those who committed sex crimes against minors. California, Florida and Louisiana also give sex offenders the option of chemical or surgical castration. Now, it's not a pleasant subject, but I do think it's something worth discussing. It's one of those heart versus head issues for many people, I suspect. And, I mean, in my heart, I think, well, what a great idea, because if they are castrated, whether it's chemically or not, they can never do it again. And surely that's, in the end, what we would all want to do. I have heard people in the past, people who are paedophiles and think that they will always be paedophiles, they've actually begged to be chemically castrated in countries that don't actually allow it at the moment. So I want to try and test this out on you, whether you think this is something that we ought to look at in this country. And the very thought of it is quite horrifying in many ways, and I can understand why people say that it's inhumane. It's not what we as in a liberal democracy would want to do. But you try telling that to a parent whose child has been sexually abused. You try telling that to a child who might be sexually abused in the future by somebody who just cannot control those urges. Juliet Grayson joins us, chair of StopGo, a specialist treatment organisation for the perpetrators and survivors of sexual offences. Juliet, very good evening to you.
Good evening, hi.
Give me your reaction to the passing of this law.
I wouldn't personally impose chemical castration as something that was enforced. I think having it as an option, as you say, there are some people who have a paedophilic tendency, have an attraction to children, who would welcome having some way to manage that attraction that was chemical. The side effects of chemical castration can be quite strong. So I think even if you were to use that, you would want to offer something alongside it, such as therapy, to help them change their thinking. And I think a multiple approach is the best way to handle this. And I don't think chemical castration is appropriate in every case, and I don't think it's necessary in every case, but it is an option that could be a part of what is offered.
I mean, I have no idea what the answer to this question is, but if a paedophile in this country who is just repulsed by what they do, but they know that they just will never be able to control their urges, if they went to, well, in fact, I don't even know who they'd go to, but went and said, look, I would like to be chemically castrated. I know what I've done. I know what I do is abhorrent, and I don't want to do it anymore. And I want someone to help me. I want to be chemically castrated. Is that even possible?
The only case that I came across where someone was desperate for it, he wasn't able to get it on the NHS and he had to pay privately for it.
So it's not illegal for someone to do it?
No, it's not illegal. But the drugs are not licensed for that use. So the drugs are licensed for other uses. So some doctors won't prescribe drugs that are unlicensed for a particular use. So it's quite complicated, but the NICE guidelines say you can use a drug for this, you can't use it for that. And as far as I understand it, they're not licensed for chemical castration. So if you don't have the condition that the drug is licensed for, then it's hard to get it on the NHS. And which is why he had to go privately. I think that was the reason.
And in terms of paedophiles, is it possible for someone to be, in inverted commas, cured? I mean, I would have thought it was a condition that it's quite difficult to control.
Well, let's make a separation between paedophiles and child molesters. So a paedophile is someone who has a primary or exclusive sexual attraction to children. In other words, they are physically and sexually attracted to children, and maybe only children, or maybe children and adults, but primarily it's children that turn them on. 60% of child sexual abuse is committed by people who are not paedophiles. So they're people who are attracted to adults, but for some reason are using the child, if you like, as a surrogate instead of having sex with an adult who they're perfectly capable and able to have sex with.
I have to say that's the first time I've ever heard of that differentiation. I would have thought you're kind of splitting hairs there. If you have sex with a child, you're a paedophile, full stop.
There are many people who are paedophiles who have a sexual attraction to children who never ever act on it, who never have sex with children.
But they're still paedophiles?
Yes, because their primary or exclusive attraction is to children. So in this country, we've done something really bad, which is to muddle up the word paedophile and child molester so that it makes it very hard for someone at STOPSO, the organisation I work for, and what we do is we offer therapy all across the UK to anyone who feels at risk of committing a sexual offence of any kind. It makes it very hard for people to come forward and say, I'm a paedophile, which means just simply I'm attracted to children, when in most people's minds, being a paedophile means that you're a child molester, means that you're a pervert, means that you're the worst of the worst. And what we really need to do in this country is make it easier for people to come forward and ask for help. I found out the other day, and this is a bit ironic given that Brexit and where we are, but there was an EU directive in 2011 that actually states that member states must support anyone who fears that they might commit a sexual offence against children looking at child abuse images, to offer them effective intervention programs or measures designed to evaluate and prevent the risk of their offences. So, you know, there's an EU directive that's recognising that we need to offer these people help. At STOPSO, 38% of the people coming to us haven't come to the attention of the police or social services. So people are coming to us before they've committed the first crime, which is what we're really trying to do. Mm. We're trying to help people stop before they get started
and
down that line.
Are the numbers increasing?
I think if you look at the thing to look at for the numbers increasing is the Crime Survey of England and Wales, which shows a very small increase in reporting from 1.7% of the population. 1.7% of the population up to 2%. Reporting that they're the victim of a sexual offence in the last 2 years, last 12 months. And so that's a tiny increase. The figures, when you look at the police recorded offences, they're going up exponentially. Mm. But I think that's because more people are coming forward and reporting. But
presumably, it is a good thing if people recognise the issues that they have and they're coming forward to you. That can only be a good thing.
Isn't it marvellous? I mean, I think that's incredibly brave of someone to contact us and say, I know I need help. Please, can you help me never to harm a child? And we're getting that on a daily basis, you know, not quite one an hour yet, but we get, you know, we've had over 3,000 people asking for help, perpetrators asking for help, and half of those were in the last 12 months. The sad thing is that not everyone can afford to pay, and the way that we work at STOPSO, we're a charity, But we get no funding from the government at all. And 20% of the people who come to us can't afford to pay. And it's absolutely devastating for our staff to hear someone say, I need help not to commit a sexual offence, however, I'm on the dole. Or another one that we're hearing very commonly is, I'm 22 and I'm unemployed and I'm at college. And we can't subsidise those at the moment. We're looking for money to be able to subsidise people like that who are asking for help not to commit a sexual offence, not to harm a child, not to damage someone else's life. And you know, we need the money to be able to subsidise them so that they can get the help they need, because they're ripe, they're ready, they're asking for change, and society, in order to protect children, should be providing that help and support.
Just final question. Has any research been done on the percentage of paedophiles who never actually act on it?
It's a very hard thing to find out. I haven't come across anything, but it's a very hard thing to quantify, because if they haven't acted on it, they don't come to the attention of anybody.
Yeah. No, I can see that. Silly question. I won't ask it again.
It's not a silly question. It's a very good question, and it's something that actually... So we have a questionnaire at StopSo, which is online and is available for anyone who's, you know, knows that they're in the group of sex offenders, let's call it. And we say, at what age did you first know you had a problem with your thinking, your sexual thinking or behaviour? 11% know by the time they're 10 years old. 51% know by the time they're 16, and by the time they're 25, it's 72%. So really what we need to be doing is targeting young people and helping them to know it's safe to come forward for help. They're not going to get hounded, shamed and vilified. But, you know, a young lad can say to his mum, because it is usually met boys and men, a young lad can say to his mum, I've got this funny sexual attraction. Please, can you help me find some good help? Mm. And at StopSo, the specialist treatment organisation for the perpetrators and the survivors of sexual offences, that's what we're trying to do. So I hope you're going to give out our website address at the end.
Well, somebody has just texted saying, how can I donate to this charity? Over to you.
If they contact us via www.stopso.org.uk or email me, juliet@stopso.org.uk, Juliet, J-U-L-I-E-T, or call our phone number 07473-299-883. We're really desperate for all the funding we can get. Thank you to that person.
Do you have a Just Giving page?
We do, yes, on our website.
Right, brilliant. Well, I wish you luck, because this is a subject which is... I mean, I'm going to admit it, I find it quite difficult to talk about. And in one way, that's why I wanted to talk about it tonight, because it is a challenge. And I think a lot of people thinking about phoning in are probably thinking, oh, God, can I go on the radio to talk about this? But it is something that I think does need to be talked about. Juliet, thank you. That's Juliet Grayson, chair of StopSo, the specialist treatment organisation for the perpetrators and survivors of sexual offences.